buying a house on the hope that interest rates will eventually calm down. I'm David Brancaccio. The Fed wants higher interest rates to clobber inflation. With higher mortgage rates, people are turning to a venerable strategy. Instead of one interest rate for 15, 20, or 30 years, there are loans where you pay less now and hope upon hope that interest rates don't go crazy later, Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Bankers at Bay State Savings Bank in Massachusetts have been getting a lot of questions about adjustable mortgages. CEO Peter Alden says part of his job is explaining what can happen if rates eventually rise.
So that they know in dollars, based on what they want to borrow, what that impact could be 5 years out, for example.
If interest rates rise, borrowers might not be able to afford their payments. Real estate professor Susan Wachter at the Wharton School says during the 2008 financial crisis,
many of those adjustable rate mortgages went into default.
Regulators have stepped up their scrutiny of the adjustable mortgage market. For instance, lenders are required to collect more information from borrowers, says Patricia McCoy at Boston College.
Today, a lender has to make sure that the person has enough income to afford an adjustable rate mortgage at the highest interest rate it can go.
The Mortgage Bankers Association says the number of applications for adjustable mortgages has gone up 22% over the last year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
By this summer, Airbnb will stop listing properties in China, but it will keep inviting Chinese tourists to stay at Airbnbs when they travel abroad. The BBC's Nick Marsh says it's about China's pandemic policies.
In a nutshell, it's zero COVID. First off, the international tourism is basically non-existent in China. It's so hard to get in and out of the country right now. So that's customers Airbnb won't be getting anytime soon. But even if you look domestically, we've seen what happens in China when there's a flare-up of COVID cases. Look at Shanghai. They had a six-week lockdown. They seem to be slowly moving out of that right now. But who knows? It could be Beijing next. They've just seen an uptick in cases.
Nick Marsh, BBC. Let's do the numbers. Well, CEO of Snap, the Snapchat parent, warned sales and profits will miss estimates. The stock is down 30%, 30% in pre-market trading now. So much for the NASDAQ bounce yesterday of 1.6%. NASDAQ futures are down 1.6%. Now S&P futures down 1.1%. As the Biden administration wrestles with if and how they might cancel student loan debt, there are hints it could be limited to those earning below a certain threshold. Some advocates of debt relief want an automatic system, arguing if there's an income limit, you'd have to prove your income. That could mean a tax return-like process that would stop lots of eligible people from applying. In other countries, government subsidies make sure the college doesn't turn into a debt trap so that higher ed moves people up, not down the economic ladder. Let's take today's economic pulse by turning to Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a nonpartisan liberal-leaning think tank. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, let's do some myth-busting here. People have their preconceptions. Who holds student debt in this country?
Well, I'd like to step back and to set the stage a little bit about the current debate, because there's a lot of discussion right now as to whether or not the Biden administration is going to cancel student debt. And one reason that we at the Roosevelt Institute are so excited about the movement towards student debt cancellation is that it signals a commitment to a new approach to higher education. It was a policy choice to fund higher education through individual investment, and that was basically a big mistake because it's led to a lot of indebtedness for families without the kind of income or job or class benefit that a college degree is supposed to bring. So that gets us to the first question you asked, who holds, you know, student debt right now? Almost 40% of borrowers don't have a college degree. They started college but had to drop out. Student debt is disproportionately held by Black borrowers. Black college students are the most likely to use federal loans. Almost 70% of Latino student borrowers have debt. So the picture of debt holders here is really a picture of all of America, really across our income and wealth spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, to get you back to your point about it was a policy choice. So this is not necessarily a discussion about, well, if you want to buy a Mercedes, BMW, or Lamborghini, you got to pay. And if you can't afford, then you got to borrow. In fact, this is a choice about how we thought we would finance something that some campuses charge a lot for.
That's right. And it's important to remember that we really used to have a different kind of college system. You know, in the 1950s, my parents, who were immigrant kids living in Oakland, Chinatown, they went to UC Berkeley, which was, you know, the college down the street, for $81 a semester. So, David, I don't think that's the college going experience that we had. And it's definitely not what we are looking at for our kids. Because that system, that public affordable college option, has largely collapsed in this country. So student debt has really skyrocketed over the last 30 years. The number of debt holders has more than doubled in that time. And as I said, many of the people who took out debt in order to improve their long-term earnings prospects really aren't benefiting from this.
So what do you think, Felicia? You've worked with the Biden people. You've advised them. We're going to get any of this debt relief?
You know, I think we really will get some debt relief. And I really hope it's a step towards acknowledging this mistake of depending on a privatized system to pay for, frankly, one of our biggest investments, our country's biggest investments in our future.
Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a nonprofit liberal-leaning think tank. Felicia, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, David.
The COVID moratorium on student loan repayments is set to expire in August. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.